今日は、創世記5章を学びます。じゃあ創世記5章を読みましょう。また長内さんお願いできますか。創世記5章全部読んでもいいですか。お願いします。
それはアダムの歴史の記録である。神はアダムを創造された時、神に似せて彼を作られ、男と女とに彼らを創造された。彼らが創造された日に神は彼らを祝福して、その名をアダムと呼ばれた。アダムは130年生きて彼に似た彼の形通りの子を産んだ。彼はその子をセツと名付けた。アダムはセツを産んで後800年生き、息子娘たちを産んだ。アダムは全部で930年生きた。こうして彼は死んだ。セツは105年生きてエノシを産んだ。セツはエノシを産んで後807年生き、息子娘たちを産んだ。セツの一生は912年であった。こうして彼は死んだ。エノシは90年生きてケナンを産んだ。エノシはケナンを産んで後815年生き、息子娘たちを産んだ。エノシの一生は905年であった。こうして彼は死んだ。ケナンは70年生きてマハラエルを産んだ。ケナンはマハラエルを産んで後840年生き、息子娘たちを産んだ。ケナンの一生は910年であった。こうして彼は死んだ。マハラエルは65年生きてエレデを産んだ。マハラエルはエレデを産んで後830年生き、息子娘たちを産んだ。マハラエルの一生は895年であった。こうして彼は死んだ。エレデは162年生きてエノクを産んだ。エレデはエノクを産んで後800年生き、息子娘たちを産んだ。エレデの一生は962年であった。こうして彼は死んだ。エノクは65年生きてメトシェラを産んだ。エノクはメトシェラを産んで後300年神と共に歩んだ。そして息子娘たちを産んだ。エノクの一生は365年であった。エノクは神と共に歩んだ。神が彼を取られたので彼はいなくなった。メトシェラは187年生きてレメクを産んだ。メトシェラはレメクを産んで後782年生き、息子娘たちを産んだ。メトシェラの一生は969年であった。こうして彼は死んだ。レメクは182年生きて一人の男の子を産んだ。彼はその子をノアと名付けていった。主がこの地を呪われたゆえに私たちは働きこの手で苦労しているが、この子たちにこの子はあこの私たちにこの子は慰めを与えてくれるであろう。レメクはノアを産んで後595年生き、息子娘たちを産んだ。レメクの一生は777年であった。こうして彼は死んだ。ノアが500歳になった時、ノアはセム、ハム、ヤペテを産んだ。
はい、ありがとうございます。Okay. So in English, we just read through Genesis chapter 5. So while we're waiting, let's read Genesis chapter 5. はい。この始まりは、これはアダムの歴史の記録であると書いてます。で、神は人を創造された時、神に似せて彼を作られと書いてます。この この言葉は面白い。あのアダムの、歴史の記録と書いてます、訳してますけど、あのこの言葉はよく、まあ、研究されて討論されている言葉です。あのそのヘブライ語ではトレドートという言葉ですけど、まあ、ある意味はその言語の由来はあの生まれるということ。ヘブライ語で生まれる、産むというのはヤレッド、ヤラッド。で、これはあのトレドート、その、まあ、言葉があの入ってますので、あのまあ、アダムの世代とか、アダムの次の世代、世代の、記録という考えもあります。アダムの歴史、アダムの家族の歴史、あの面白い、さまざまな訳があります。なぜなら、トレドートはどういうことかをあの、まあ、分からないということです。あのでもおそらくアダムが作られて、でそしてあの彼は自分の子を産んで、その子が産んで、その、まあ、生まれているあの人間の歴史ということですけど、あの面白いところは、そのしょっちゅうにその言葉が創世記に出てきますな。あということで、おそらあの多分そういうところは区切りです。あのあその今までの話はあの前の話、創造の話だったけど、今はアダム の, きあの子孫の話で、また誰々のトレド、誰々のトレドという、まあ、区切りがあのずっとつながっていく。あのおそらくモーセは創世記をあのまとめた時に、彼より古いあの、写本とかあの、まあ、ものをあの、まとめたんじゃないかと思われている。あのこれは口伝えだけではなくて、本当に書かれたものという、まあ、証明になります。ある人たちはこれはその洪水の前でも本があるという、まあ、記録、証明ではないかと、まあ、言っています。まあ、そのことについては何とも言えないですけど、でもとにかく本がありました。それは紙にできる本ではなくても本がありました。何らかの形の本があった。で、あのモーセはその記録、あの記録を、まあ、多分アブラハムから、そしてヤコブから、イスラエルの長老たちからいただいて、あので創世記をあの、まあ、聖霊の導きによってあのまとめたんじゃないかなと思われています。はい。まあ、それを見るときに区切りということをあの考えてみてください。うん、もう一つはその、アッシュベリファル の, あの、図書館、あの昔の、シリア、アシリアの王 の, あの有名な図書館の中に、あのその石版のまあ、タイトルとして、題名として、あのトレドート何々、トレドート何々、トレドート何々とかってと書いていた。ある人たちは、まあ、本 の, あの後ろの方にあのタイトルが書かれているように、あこの本が欲しい、カチン。あその時代は全部あの上にあの積んでいたから、そんなに簡単に取れなかったけど、あの、まあ、そういう使い方もあったんじゃないかと思われてますけど、でも、うん、アシリアは随分後であの出てきたものから、あのアシリアの習慣によって創世記を解釈できないというのもあります。まあ、とにかくそのトレドットという言葉はあのずっと使われていた。はい。まあ、その本という意味もあるから、創世記はいくつかの、まあ、記録をあの、まあ、モーセはそれをまとめて創世記を書いたということになります。はい。じゃあ神様はこの章 このところで何を言おうとしているでしょう。最初はこの人たちは長く生きていたということ、まあ多くの人はやっぱり新約聖書を読むときにいきなりイエス様の奇跡に会おうで、それによってもう読み続けるか興味深く読むか、こんなクソ話は考えないというふうにと言って捨てるか、創世記もそうです。おそらく多くの人はアダムとかアダムの子孫はこんなに長く生きていて、それは絶対嘘と思って、その時点で諦める人もいると思います。ですけど、じゃあなんでそんなに生きていたかを、考えてみると、神様は人間を完全に創造した。私たちは逆になんで亡くなるという問題、疑問を、出すことができます。なんで亡くなる？細胞はいつも新しくなる。私たちの体は7年間の循環で細胞を全部変える。多くの細胞はそれよりも早く入れ替えられる。なんで私たちは年を取る？はい、それは呪いのためです。神様は初めに人間を多分永遠のために生きれるように想像したけど、でその永遠に生きれるために彼らは命の木の実を食べることでした。でも罪のために人間はエデンの園から追い出された。でそれははっきり書いてたのは損傷では、人がその命の木の実を食べて永遠に生きないようにアダムとエバをエデンの園から追い出した。だから本来は永遠に生きるために私たちは創造された。面白いでしょう。確かに物が分解されるようになりますけど、常に新しくなる。ダムの水は常に流れるけど新しい水が常に入ってくる。だからそのダムはずっとあるというわけです。人間もそうです。命が出る、命が入ってくる。でイエス様は終わりの日に全ての人に聖霊を降り注いで、そしてイエス様は聖霊を受けることは永遠の命の水をが私たちの中から湧き出ると言います。イエス様の命は私たちの中で湧き出る。だから神様のもとで私たちはこの体でも永遠に生きることはおかしくない。ただ一つ、神様はそれを許さない。神様は私たちの死を定めた。だから私たちは体の中でその死ぬプロセスは始まる。今の研究では突然変異の累積によってその私たちの死が早くなる。また細胞が新しくなるときに尻尾みたいなものがついている。で毎回その DNA がコピーされているときにそれがどんどん短くなるわけです。で短くなったら切れたらもうその細胞は変えられない、新しくなれないという研究の結果もありますので、具体的な決定的な徹底的な命の、限界がある今の世界では、本来はそうではなかっただろう。もう一つは目視にその千年王国永遠に入る人たちの特徴は千年まで生きれる千年王国 だからそれまでに1000年まで生きることは許さなかった。まあこの中で面白いのはメトシェラは969年で亡くなりました。エレデは962年、もうだいたい1000年弱。アダムは930年生きていた。だからまあみんな長く生きていたけど、でも1000年までは生きなかった。それは天国に入る人の特徴です。まあ特権です。はい、だから神様はなんとなく1000年でという限界をまあつけました。じゃあなんで私たちはこんなに早く亡くなる、なんで900年生きないでしょうかということです。まあそれは面白い質問。なんで最初洪水の前に割とまあ長く生きていたけど、洪水の後はまあ割と早くそれは減っていた。でまあ一つの理由はもしかしたら30節にあります。この30節あすみません28節ラメクは182年生きて一人の男の子を産んだ。彼はその子をノアと名付けた。主がこの地の呪われを呪われたゆえに私たちは働き、この手の苦労をしているが、この私たちにこの子は慰めを与えてくれるだろう。ラメクはノアを産んだ後595年生き、娘たちを産んだ。ラメクの一生は777年であった。こうして彼は亡くなった。ノアが500歳になった時、ノアはセム、ハム、ヤペテを産んだ。ノアだけはみんなと違う。面白いでしょう。他のみんなは大体、まあ、65歳とか、100歳とか、まあ、長くて、このラメクは182歳になってから子供を産みました。それは長いでしょう。それまでに何をしてたんだろう。でも、ノアは、随分誰よりも長い。ノアは500歳だった。で、今でも私たちは例えば20代30代で子供を産んだらまあ割と簡単に生まれるですけど、40代になったら難しくなる。で50代になったら本当に奇跡的じゃないと大体生まれない。まあ時々奇跡的なこともあります。60代とかでも子供生まれる時もあるけど、でも40代に入っても難しくなる時が多い、場合が多い。ノアは500歳。じゃあなんでそれは難しくなるかというと、私たちが生まれる時の種が最初に入っていた、最初から入っていた。でその種がどんどん出ていくこともあるし、もう一つは突然変異は起こって、私たちの精子とか種が変わる、その情報がめちゃくちゃになる。また突然変異は放射能とか太陽の放射能とかで害を受けるものです。だから突然変異がある。それは一つの理由。その最初から生まれた時から変わっていないその種とか精子はそういう放射能によって害を受けているから、その中の突然変異はどんどん増えていくものです。だから生まれた時の状態はいいけど、さらに 例えば40年住んでいたら、どんどんそのミステイク、間違った情報が増える。だからノアは500歳で子供、私たちをみんな産んだから、おそらくそのために洪水の後の、寿命は随分減ってきた。で、洪水の後は、まあ、世代世代によってもう割と早く減っていた。ノアまではそういうパターンはありませんでした。ですから、まあ、それも神様の計画の中にあったではないかと思います。まあ、アブラハムは本当に100歳まで待たされたみたいに、ノアは500歳まで待たされたじゃないかと思います。ノアは特別な人です。ノアはもうどう見ても神様は大事に準備した器です。ノアはもう神様は特別に用意した人、彼の子孫はもうまた世界を増やすから、他の人よりも神様はノアの体を、まあ、大事にした働いていたでしょう。他の人はみんな亡くなりました。ノアだけ、ノアの子孫と、まあ、奥さんだけは、生き残るから、まあ、500歳まで待たしたのはその理由、そのためだじゃないかと、まあ、思われている。はい。まあ、ということで、別にだからといって帰られないですけど、まあ、早く結婚しろということもあるかもしれないけど、まあ、なんで人は今そんなに長く生きてないかということを理解するために、まあ、それは一つの側面じゃないかと思います。はい。では、はい、まあ、まずはそれを、訳しましょう。 Alright, so we're looking today then at Genesis chapter 5, and we come to this long list, and it begins, this is the written account of Adam's family line. It's a very interesting translation. Others say these are the generations of Adam, or this is the record of Adam, or this is the history of Adam. They're all trying to translate a Hebrew word called toledot, which is a very confusing word. It's the word, toledot, is the word which is a word which is used repeatedly in Genesis to introduce new sections. You know, this is the toledot of the creation of the world. This is the toledot of Adam. This is the toledot of Noah. This is the toledot of Esau, for example. You've got all kinds of sections here, and it seems to be like one use of the word is a section marker. So in one sense, this is almost a kind of an evidence, and some people point to this as an evidence that the Old Testament, especially the book of Genesis, was actually made up of different books, different history books, different records, documents that were handed down from perhaps Melchizedek, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Joseph's sons, and finally to Moses. And then Moses put them all together in this book we call Genesis. It seems that that is possibly the case. We know that writing as we know it seems to have developed around the time that Moses was in Egypt, and you know, the phonetic, at least the phonetic script of writing, where you've got letters that mean sounds. But long before that, we had the pictorial pictures in Egyptian, the hieroglyphics. So we certainly had, well, they certainly had writing before that time. And it stands to reason that they may have even had some kind of writing before the flood. I mean, why wouldn't they have? Just because it changed doesn't really matter. Look how much our languages have changed in just a few hundred years. So it's quite possible that there were in some way books. Now, they might have been written in clay, they might have been written on stone, they might have been written on some kind of paper. We have no idea because they wouldn't have survived all those thousands of years anyway. So we can't really say. They probably weren't written on paper. But we can say that Genesis seems to point to the fact that different documents were put together, which would make sense. Obviously, these things were written long before Moses. Moses had to get the information from somewhere, and he has sometimes put in, you know, it's called this until this day, or something like that. So he's written his own things into it by the guidance of the Holy Spirit. But Genesis was obviously put together by some kind of documents that were in his hands before that time, which is perhaps why God allowed him to be educated in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, so he could learn how to write and learn literature. So anyway, we come to this account of God creating Adam and Adam's sons. Now, the first thing we notice when we get here is how long these people lived. And it's funny, right? I mean, just as some people might pick up the New Testament and get turned away by the long list of generations at the beginning, and even if they read through that, they're going to immediately run into miracles and of Jesus, and they might think, oh, this is rubbish, and put it down. Or they might say, this is amazing, and keep reading. But it's their choice whether to seek God or not, whether to take God at his word or not. Well, so it is here. When we get to verse chapter 5, if you could take, you might be able to believe that God created the world, but will you believe that man could live 1,000 years, or just under 1,000 years? If you can believe God created the world, I don't know why you couldn't believe people could live 900 years, but still, this is a kind of a test, certainly to people in this generation. Obviously, even now we have people who live well over 100 years. Even in our lifetime, there have been people who have lived up to, you know, 110 years. And we know that certain animals, like turtles, can live well into the hundreds of years. So it shouldn't be any amazing thing that people could live longer than what we experience today. But why did they live that long? Why don't they live that long today? That's a good question. Why did they live almost 1,000 years? Well, one way of looking at it is this. In the beginning, God created man and woman to live forever. It says when he cast them out of the Garden of Eden that God put these cherubim with flaming swords at the gate of the garden so that the way to the tree of life would be guarded. It says here in verse 22, and the Lord God said, the man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. So God had to actually physically force them away from that tree so that they wouldn't eat it and live forever. There was obviously something about that tree that allowed them physically to continue living. Think about a dam. A dam can sometimes seem to get empty, but then the next rain comes and it gets full. Sometimes they store a lot of water in it because they're preparing for harvest and they want to flood the field. Oh, sorry, not for harvest, planting, and they want to flood the fields. Other times they release a lot of water because the typhoon's coming and they think it's going to flood again. But as water goes always out, water always comes in and the dam remains, right? Perhaps indefinitely. So it is with life. Just as we die and life goes out of us, but our cells are continually being replenished and life is coming back into us. Jesus said regarding the Holy Spirit, which that water, poured out water, represents, that anyone who receives this would be like living waters flowing out of their belly. So when we receive the Holy Spirit, the life of God is flowing out of us. So God is certainly able to continue the life working process that goes on within us. There's no reason that we should ever die, other than the fact that God has decided it. And that is obviously the important factor. God said no, they must not be able to get to the tree of life and live forever. And so God seems to have set a limit of 1,000 years, just under 1,000 years. 969 years was the longest we see with Methuselah. Why would God do that? Well, in the end of this age, there will be a millennium. There will be a 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ. And during that time, God will fulfill all his promises, and he will prove his character, and he will show what the world would be like if people walked in faith. And those people who are lucky enough and blessed enough to go to that time will experience living for 1,000 years. So that's something, that's a privilege, which is not for now, it's for later. And so even from the beginning, when God looked ahead and he saw how his plan would unfold, he says, I'll leave that blessing for the end, the best to last. Living 1,000 years will be just something that I leave to the end. Now, of course, some trees live for more than 1,000 years, so it's not like they can't live for that long, but God has deemed it for people that we should not enjoy the blessings of eternity now. He's keeping that for those who are resurrected. But physically, why would people live 1,000 years but no longer live 1,000 years today? I mean, why don't we still live 900 years today? That would still fulfill that condition, right? Well, that's a good question, and I don't know the answer, but I can give some ideas. One of them is, we know that one of the reasons we died today is because of mutation. It seems like, you know, whenever we get to around 80 or 90, we start getting cancers, and these things end up killing us. Why? One of the main reasons is mutation. Mutation is the degradation of genetic information, so that when cells copy to make new cells, they're not producing perfect cells, they're producing imperfect cells, and they can become cancerous and die and kill us. Why would this be important? Because as the more you expose yourself to radiation, the more these things build up. You could get a lot of radiation in a small time or a small amount of radiation in a long time, but it's the cumulative effect of how much radiation you have been given that's important. So, you know, 10 years living a few hundred meters from a nuclear reactor, or 10 seconds being very, very close to a nuclear reactor could have the same effect. It doesn't matter. It really matters how many times you've been hit by radiation. So it's the cumulative effect, whether you got a lot in a little time or a little in a lot over a long time, it doesn't make any difference. So if the longer people live in this world, the more radiation they're exposed to, and radiation passes right through us. And so the DNA in our cells is damaged. Now, if I live 100 years before I have a child, then the seed which we're born with, like the egg that the mothers are born with, the eggs, you don't grow new eggs, you've got them all at birth. Those things are going to, be hit with 100 years of radiation. On the other hand, if you have a child at 20 years old, there's far less mutation before you go on to the next generation. So the fact that people are when a person has a child who's very old, there's a much higher risk that there will be mutational defects and the baby won't be born, which is why it's harder to get pregnant when we get on in life. So if you're in your 20s, it's a lot easier to get pregnant than in your 30s, and then it's a lot easier to get pregnant than in your 40s when it becomes quite difficult. And even though there are some exceptional cases, most people physically can't have children after their, or women anyway, when they're 50 or 60. Men can, but they say that if a man has a child in his 60s, it's genetic, the baby is genetically going to be weaker than if the man had that child in his 40s or 30s. So the longer we leave it to have kids, the more genetic mutation there is in our genes that's passed on to the next generation. Why is that important? Because in the beginning, people were perfect and they didn't have any genetic mistakes. And so technically, they probably could have lived long after 1,000 years. But as people began to get exposed to the degrading effects of radiation, which God perhaps protected us from up until that point, then mutations begin to build up. But notice that most of them had their kids when they were between 65 and 100 and something years old. There was a couple of 65-year-olds who had kids there. Enoch was born when his father was 65, I think. Off the page, where are we? Yeah. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. So he had a kid at 65. And when Mahalal lived at 65, became 65, he became the father of Jared. All right, so Jared was 162 when he had Enoch. But then Enoch had his kid at 65. And you go on, and Lamech was pretty old. He was 182 when he had a son called Noah. But notice how it just suddenly jumps at Noah. When it gets to verse 32, it says, after Noah was 500 years old, he became the father of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. 500! I mean, 500 years old. I mean, Abraham had to wait till he was 100, and even then he thought it was impossible. Noah was 500 years old before he had a kid. What was he doing? He was... Obviously, this was an unusual case. And let's think about it. Noah is the one person, along with his wife, that God used to bring all life into the world post-flood, including Shem, Ham, and Japheth, because they were obviously born after Noah was 500 years old. So God prepared this man to have children who would be ready for the next world. And this next world that we live in after the flood is a world where people don't live that long. So it seems to be that God has engineered Noah. He made him wait all that time. And maybe Noah didn't know why he couldn't, you know, have a baby, maybe. Or maybe he never got married till late, I don't know. But obviously God made him wait, because God was preparing a new generation of people who wouldn't live that long. And as you see, after the flood, the lifespans go down very quickly. It's all part of God's plan. If you feel weak, it's all part of God's plan. You know, just like Jacob, you know, he wasn't called Israel until God dislocated his hip. Then he was called one who would be a prince with God. We become great in our weakness. And as God weakens us physically, we can become spiritually stronger. Just as our hair goes gray and white, and we become wiser. That's just the way it is. So if we wonder why people didn't live 1,000 years, well, that's a blessing reserved for heaven. Why do people not live long ages now? Because God has changed our genetic information and made it so that we have more mistakes than they used to have. And that's just the way it is. And I guess with every generation, we are getting genetically weaker. And there's so many new diseases and new sicknesses and things coming out these days. And, you know, all these new conditions that kids seem to have, all the allergies and that. It's quite possible that we're getting to the breaking point, and that, you know, this is it for our genetic future. We're finished. And so Jesus will come back soon and put right what has been made wrong. Hi. では、あの、続けましょう。じゃあ、次のポイントは、あの、ここで読んでみると、あの、あ、ちょっと想像できないけど、あの、実際に、その誰がいつ生きていたかを、あの、まあ、書いてみると、面白いことがわかる。あの、アダムは、この最後の、あの、ところまで生きていた。あの、ヤレッとかエノク、メトゥセラ、その終わりの時代の人たち。ヤレッは降りる。あの、それからエノク。エノクは、あの、神様と共に歩んでいた。で、取られた。結局されたみたい。エノクの息子はメトセラ。メトセラは、あの、洪水まで生きていた。彼が亡くなった時の後で洪水が来た。 で、次はラメク。ラメクはその終わりの時に住んでいた。で、ノアは終わりの日に住んでいた。だからアダムは最後のところまで生きていた。もうほとんどの人たちはアダムに、最後までアダムに会えた。それからセツとかセツの子供に会えました。でも終わりの時代は急にもう信仰から落ちました。面白いでしょう。この歴史の中で神様というものを信じる人たちはほとんどの歴史で信じていたけど、でもこの終わりの時代にもうどのところでも人は信仰から落ちている。どの国でも信仰から落ちている。神様を捨てて、この時代は洪水をもう信じない、この時代は進化論を信じながら創造を断っている。本当に終わりの時代は急に神様の創造の事実を捨てました。捨てています。私たちはその時代に住んでいる。神様はその時代に特別な印を与えている。例えばエノク。エノクは神様と共にいて取られた。みんなはどう考えていたでしょう、そのこと。そしてエノクの子供はメトセラ。メトセラ、セラは、まあ、到来という 発見するということです。だからメトは死ぬという意味、ムト。そしてメトセラは、彼は亡くなる時にそれは届く、それかそれは発見される、まあ洪水が来る。セラのもう一つの、まあ、使い方は矢ということだから、まあ、洪水は天から槍みたいに飛んでくる。裁きが飛んでくる。まあ、洪水が来るということ。彼が亡くなったら洪水が来ます。裁きが来ます。だからエノクがまあ、自分の息子を産んだ時にすでに終わりの日の概念を抱いていた。でもそれからまあ、何百年は続いていたでしょう。まあ969年 後で洪水が来た。でもその時から神様は正しい人たちにそのがあまあことを明らかにしました、掲示しました。だからこの私たちが住んでいる時代もそうです。私たちはそういう大きな印が与えられている。国々が信じるようになっている。奇跡が行われている。予言が成就されている。終わりの日の予言が分かるようになってきている。そういうサインがあります。けど周りにたくさんの人は信仰を捨てています。はい。じゃあ私たちも自然だったら、自然に行ったら信仰から落ちるものですので、気をつけなければならない。もしみんなと一緒にこの世の考えを持って、この世の価値観を持って、周りの近所の人たちと同じような生き方で毎日暮らしているなら、私たちも信仰から落ちます。この時代はもうみんな流されていってしまう。だからそうしないようにどうしなければならない。まあ、ヘブル書を見てください。ヘブル10章25節。ヘブル書、10章25節。はい。約束された方は真実な方ですから、 あ、ごめんなさい。25節。間違った。ある人たちのように一緒に集まることをやめたりしないで、かえって励まし合い、かの日が近づいているのを見て、ますますそうしようではありませんか。本当に終わりの日が近づいていることを気づいたら、ますます私たちは一緒に集まる必要があります。私たちはその集まりを絶対やめてはならない。クリスチャンに会うのは彼らを励ます、彼らにかな、彼らに励ますため、私たちも彼らの励ましを受ける必要があります。それによって私たちは終わりの日に耐え忍ぶ。一緒に集まる理由をよく考えてみてください。もしそれは伝統的なものだったら捨てやすい。伝統はどんどん変わるから。もし教会行く理由は新しいことを聞くためだと思ったら、じゃあ同じようなメッセージを何回も聞くから、もう行かんでいいと思うかもしれない。もし教会行くのは自分の人生が恵まれると思っているなら、別に恵まれていると感じない時がもう多いです。そうではない。私たちは教会行くのは一緒に神様を礼拝するために集まっている。このイエス様が作った体、神様が作ったイエス様の体、キリストの体をまとめて、この終わりの日に神様を礼拝しながら互いに助け合ったり、互いに励まし合ったり、信仰を互いに保ち合いするために集まる。教えがなくても私たちは教会に来ます。賛美がなくても教会に来ます。新しいことを学ばなくても教会に来ます。例えば2人だけだったら集まります。なんででしょう。神様はそういうふうに終わりの日の計画をもたらすから。この終わりの日にキリストの体は立ちます。私たちは神様を礼拝します。もし私たちはこの世の考えで世を見たら、信仰から落ちてしまいます。覚えてください。ルーク17章に書いてある通りに、ノアの日のことが書いてます。26節見ます。ルーク17章26節、人の子の日に起こることはちょうどノアの日に起こったことと同様です。だからこの時代は本当にノアの時代と同じです。ノアが白船に入るその日まで、人々は食べたり飲んだりめとったりとっついだりしていたが、洪水が来て全ての人を滅ぼしてしまいました。本当にもうそれしか考えてないでしょう。働いたり食べたり飲んだり、結婚、恋愛、そういう考えはみんな気にすること、ファッションとか服とか土地とかお金とか、そういうもの。またロットの日、30節、人の子が現れる日にも全く28節、またロットの時代にあったことと同様で、人々は食べたり飲んだり売ったり買ったり植えたり建てたりしていました。ビジネスが増える、お金のこと、成長すること、流行ること 祝福されること、その、その毎日のみんなが気にかけていることによって信仰が奪われる。だから私たちはこの世で住めなければならないですけど、この世と違うように考えます。私たちがいる理由は神様を礼拝する、神様に仕える。私たちがやるべきことはこの世で宝を蓄えることではなくて、人を励ます、福音を伝える、神様に仕える。だから私たちが恵まれなくてもいい、私たちは金持ちになれなくてもいい、私たちは自分の夢は全部満たす必要はない、神様に仕えるために私たちはこのように言います。人を救うためにこのように言います。たくさんのことを学ぶよりも神様を学ぶこと、そのためにいます。神様の証しをするためにいます。神様に頼るためにいます。だから試されるときに私たちはその信仰によって神様に栄光を与えているということです。だからノアの日にたくさんの人は急に知ってるはずけど、その信仰を失ったように、捨てたように、この時代もそうです。まあ私たちも気をつけましょう。はい、この終わりの日にノアのようにもうフォーカスする、私たちの目の前の神様から与えられている仕事をちゃんと忠実に最後までやってしまいましょう。ノアは箱舟を作った、私たちも神様のためにやるべき技を集中してやるべきです。 So finally the next thing is we have the generations of Noah. Up until Noah, we see that Adam lived right up until almost to the last three generations there. When most of the people in the world could see Adam, for most of the history up until the flood, most of the people could actually know Adam if they wanted to. They could certainly know Adam's son Seth. He lived right up to the very end. Now, in that very last days, we see God started to do special signs. You know, we have Jared. His name means to come down. It's kind of insinuating something's coming down. Some people say it could be the Nephilim started to come in that day. Or it could be that, you know, God's judgment is coming down. Then we have Enoch, who walked with God. And God took him, like the rapture. And Enoch, when he was, when he had a child, he called him Methuselah. Methuselah, Met means to die, and Selah means to be sent or to be thrown like a missile. So the idea is that when he dies, when this boy dies, the judgment is going to come like a missile, or the judgment, the flood will be sent. It'll come down. So right up in that generation, just like it is today, God had given them a sense that this is the last days. God's judgment is coming. Now, from that time until it actually came was 969 years, but it was only a very short time in terms of generations. After Methuselah, we had Lamech and then Noah. So the people who lived in that generation could actually talk to the ones who had experienced the original creation, or had certainly first-hand access to those who did. But they all threw that faith away in the end. Now, it's possible that many of the faithful died. You know, I mean, Methuselah seems to have outlived everyone. So probably a lot of the faithful might have died in faith. And by the time Methuselah died, that was it. All of the righteous had died out. Only Noah and his family were left. That's one way of looking at it. But there were other people, so many other people, who lost their faith in that time. Now, we've got to see and think, why did they lose their faith? Well, the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, which is a very famous passage, and it's something we need to remind ourselves continually about. It says this, sorry, Hebrews 10, 26. It says, 25, yeah, it was 25. Well, let's read from verse 24. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Right? So the focus here is to consider how. Now, consider means to think about, how can I do this? What should I do? In what way can I do it? How can I spur one another on toward love and good deeds? How can I increase, help others to grow in love and faith and good works? And this is directly related with meeting together. The more we see the day approaching, the more we should be meeting together. We should be meeting with Christians. We should be involved with prayer meetings. We should be involved with Bible studies. We should be involved with fellowship, church activities. Why? Because the darker this world gets, the more we need our light to shine. And the worse the world gets, the greater the temptation and the forces of evil will be upon us. And we need to encourage one another in order to stand in the last days. The normal thing to do is to be washed away with the flood. Most people lose their faith. And so God is saying to us, even more as we see the last days coming, and they're so close now, all these prophecies are being fulfilled before our eyes. I don't have to say it, you all know them. How much more should we be focusing now, not on getting anything in this world, but on fulfilling the word of God? God's not called us to come and be rich. He's not called us to come and have success in business and this and that. He's not called us to come so that we can just enjoy the pleasures of this life. He's called us to be his shining light in a last generation world, to defy this world's values, to go against the flow of people in their humanistic pursuits of money and pleasure, to stand up for his truth in the face of ungodliness, to defend God's ways against a world which is wanting to throw God's ways out the door. We need to come to church to worship God. Why do we come to church? If it's just to learn something new, well, I'm sorry, I can't always teach you something new. And, you know, it's true. You know, you might come to church and hear the same message many times. If that was why you came to church, well, you might give up. You don't come to church because people are so nice and friendly, you know, because often they're not. You don't come to church because it's going to be a great blessing in your life, because often it's not. Sometimes you'll be convicted by the Holy Spirit, or sometimes you'll see the Holy Spirit's breaking work in another person's life and you walk away thinking, God, why didn't you heal that person? Or why is he allowing this to happen? We're here to worship him, to stand for him, to follow him, and to encourage each other to do the same. We need to meet together. It's so important. I need your encouragement and you need my encouragement. We all need each other's encouragement. We need to stir each other up toward love, towards faith, towards holiness, towards good works, towards setting our life straight, towards getting to God's will and doing it, and away from fashions and trends and all of the nonsense that people fill their minds with, even more as you see the day approaching. And the very next verse says, if we can deliberately keep on sinning after we've received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice is left. In other words, if we know these things but we still continue to walk in sin, there's no other way of saving us. and then a judgment came like the flood to take them away. Remember Luke 17. Let's look at Luke 17. It says in verse 26, just as it was in the days of Noah, so also will it be in the days of the Son of Man. People were eating, drinking, marrying, and being given in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. Then the flood came and destroyed them all. Some people, it's all about just physical pleasure, what we eat, what we drink, getting married, right? But then he goes on to, in the days of Lot, it was the same in the days of Lot. People were eating and drinking, yeah, but they were also buying and selling, planting and building. It was about business. It was about pursuits of mental pleasure. But the day Lot left Sodom, fire and sulfur came down from heaven and destroyed them all. Their whole focus was on enjoying life, doing well in business, who they're going to marry, building up the family, enjoying pleasure in this world, eating and drinking and barbecues and restaurants and, you know, buying and selling and Amazon and, you know, all of these kind of things. And how much does that categorize and define today's world? That's what everybody is doing, just one fashion to another, one purchase to another, one meal to another. And that's what life is all about, business and money and shopping. Well, unfortunately, if we get lost in that way of thinking, we'll lose our faith. So we've got to encourage each other not to go down that path. As tempting as it is and as normal as it seems, normal is going to hell and temptation with it. We need to stand for God. Now, of course, he's not saying we can't enjoy food and drink. Obviously, you know, Methuselah probably ate a lot in his 969 years. He would have planted many trees and probably done all those things. But it wasn't the focus of his life. They walked with God. They were a testimony to God. They remained pure to God, and they handed on that testimony to their children, and their children handed it on to their children. And although they in themselves experienced the penalty of death, they still died in faith, knowing and hoping that soon the comfort was coming. And that's what we've got to be. We've got to look at this world in a totally different way. We are here to worship. We are here to serve. We are here to praise God, and we are here to save others. We're here to be a testimony to God and His truth. はい。では、今日はそこで終わりましょう。私たちはこの世にいるのは神様に仕えること、神様の通す神様の真実のために証しをすること、この世の、ファッションや買い物や食べ物やそういうことばかりせずに神様を第一にします。福音を第一にします。そういうものが全部与えられるけど、私たちはそれを追い求めることではなくて神様の御心を追い求めるべきです。はい、じゃあ祈りましょう。天の父様、感謝します。本当に私たちはよくこの世のものを追い求めます。許してください。助けてください。どうか互いに神様の御心、神様の愛、神様の言葉を第一にできる、あなたとあなたの義を第一にすることができるように、また人がそうするように励ますことができるように助けてください。導いてください。目の前の技を成し遂げれるように、その集中力をください。ありがとうございます。感謝します。イエス様の御名によって祈ります。アメン。